Welcome, and thank you for coming to these little broadcasts and landing on this one. The readings that I will illuminate today are coming from the Feast for the Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael the Archangels, which happens on September 28th every year. And the readings basically go as such for this day. A reading from the book of Revelation. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they did not prevail, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge dragon, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was thrown down to earth, and its angels were thrown down with it. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his anointed. For the accuser of our brothers is cast out, who accuses them before our God day and night. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Love for life did not deter them from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them." The word of the Lord. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. And they shall sing the ways of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Bless the Lord, all you angels, you ministers who do his will. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, these readings are selected as readings for this particular day to highlight the place of the angels in our lives. In particularly, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us, the Church does join in with the angels to adore God. And that's one of our functions. When we go to Mass, when we are celebrating any kind of liturgy, we are joining in with the angels in heaven and how they praise God. We are reminded about this when we get to the Holy, 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 or the Sanctus part of Mass right before the consecration, because that is the song that's being sung by the cherubim and the seraphim up in glory, where they sing, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God of power and might." So it's just a reminder of that kind of thing. And this is why during the liturgy itself, and especially the funeral liturgy, there's a reminder of our connection with the angels by the prayer that says, "May the angels lead you into paradise." And it's a reminder that they are our guardians throughout life. They help us on our road to heaven as extra assistance, if you will, on the path toward where we're headed. In the reading, especially starting with the Book of Revelation portion, we find that Michael and his angels are at war with the dragon. When we're talking about spiritual warfare in the sense of there being a war against heaven and earth, it's more of a warfare that was, in one sense, played out a long time ago, for Jesus himself said he saw these events as something that had happened in the past. And it's also something that we kind of see today in our own lives when we pray for things, much like Daniel did, I believe, in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, where he sees a vision that Gabriel was not able to come with a specific word to him about something he was praying about because the Prince of Persia, which is another term for an angelic host of the underworld in some cases, was referred to in the Hebrew scriptures. And he said that because Michael, the archangel, came and cleared out his path, he was able to bring the word to him. And most people understand this as being the word in Daniel about the coming Messiah. And these are things that come about because he was praying and fasting for, I believe it was 21 days. I'll have to look at that at some point in time. Can't remember offhand, but that's as good as my memory can be at this point. But we'll keep moving on. But these are the things that we know. And the reason why we mention the names of Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael are because these are the three names that are found in what is accepted to be the Christian scriptures. And I say Christian scriptures because we know Michael exists because he's reported in both the Old and the New Testament. He's reported back in the Gospel. He was reported back in the book of Daniel, and he was also reported of in the book of Revelation from the portion that we've read. We know of Gabriel because he was the angel that talked to Daniel back in Daniel, I believe it was chapter 9, could be chapter 7, but I'm thinking it's chapter 9 right now, that was basically an emissary giving a message from God to him. He's also mentioned in the Gospels, this is where the Gospel thought came in, because he was the one that actually announced the birth of Jesus to Mary. So we do know those two specifically by name. Raphael is one that's in a book that's disputed by some churches because, basically, in Protestantism, they try to remove some books saying that the Catholics added them. There's no real proof that the Catholics added those after a certain period of time, and it's more along the lines that they're subtracting from the Word of God by removing these books. But in the book of Tobit, we see the angel Raphael being presented, and some people don't understand the symbolism in that book, and they totally misunderstand what was being taught there, but that's another conversation for another day. But we remember these particular angels on these days, and we know that there's other angels out there, like, for instance, our guardian angel. Most of us will pray the prayer when we go to sleep, guardian angel, guardian dear. That prayer is something that even children learn before they go to bed, so I won't tire you and bore you with that one all completely. But it is something where you need to recognize that there is help beyond just the help we have through the intercession of the saints with our Blessed Virgin and with all the saints that are up in heaven, plus our part in it and the part that's played by those in purgatory. So we do have this angelic host that's also trying to help us out. Now, our relationship with the angels is something that a lot of people misunderstand, and it's part of the reason why I've chosen to review this a little bit today with you, because on the feast of these great archangels, it's important for us to understand to understand their place in how they help us. With people who don't understand what the choirs of angels are, archangels are actually the second lowest of the classes of angels. They come right before our personal guardian angels, or just angels in general. Above them are powers, dominions, thrones. There's also the cherubim and seraphim that's up there. Can't remember them all off the top of my head, but I do know that they're part of the nine classes of angels that the church recognizes through its liturgy, and also in the prayer to Saint Michael that gets prayed every day by Mother Angelica on EW2EN. And it's a very interesting study when you go into the angels. How do the angels help us? Well, the angels basically are there to be guides to us. One of the ways we know they're to be guides is because of a story that's found, I believe it's in the book of Numbers, where the Israelites are walking through the desert, wandering, and they've ticked off a certain king who just wants to have them destroyed because he's, number one, afraid of them because they've been conquering everybody in the region. And he also wants to have somebody put a curse on them so that he can win in a battle against them. And he chooses a prophet. The prophet is Belial. That's B-A-apostrophe-A-L. And it's where you get Belialism or Baalism, depending upon who you talk to and how they pronounce it. But from what I've learned of Hebrew, it's Belial, because there's a little pause before you go with the other al. But that's not important. But this guy basically saw the children of Israel wandering in the desert. And where they were wandering is kind of a for people who don't know the geography, supposedly they had formed like a cross with how they were arranged in the desert. It's probably not exactly a true thing, but it's something that most people believe because of where they think the valleys and stuff would have been, where this guy would have seen the entire tribes of Israel. And he tried to speak a curse upon them, but he didn't. He spoke a blessing instead, because he was actually motivated by the Holy Spirit to speak blessing unto them instead, which angered this king, which I can't remember his name off the top of my head, and I should grab my Bible at some point and find out, but it's not important. But before he got to this king on his journey, he was riding on a donkey. And the donkey basically didn't want to go at some point and kind of stopped, and he got mad and he starts whipping this donkey and starting to really be mean to the donkey. Then finally, after the donkey basically kicks him off and he gets real mean and mad at him, an angel appears to him and says, "Hey, I'm standing in this donkey's way. The donkey's actually trying to save your life. You're kind of an idiot for doing what you're doing by smacking this donkey, because this donkey's doing well." And it's a reminder that sometimes the things that block your way is really an angel trying to keep you from going into trouble. And these are some of the ways that angels can help out. They can also bring messages, like they did to Joseph when they were letting him know that, first off, that Herod wanted to kill Jesus, so go to Egypt. And then when he was in Egypt for a long period of time and Herod had died, he told him, "Hey, you know, come on back." And it was kind of through that ministry that you kind of have those. We also know from the temptation of Jesus in the desert that the angels attended to Jesus, both in the desert after the 40 days and after the three temptations, and also in the Garden of Gethsemane before, you know, he was taken to the cross and crucified. Because there was, I believe it's in Mark or Matthew, I can't remember it off the top of my head, where the angels basically ministered unto him. And these are kind of the situations that we see where the angels help out. Now, specifically going back to the book of Revelation, we see here that the angels are fighting with Satan and his cohorts. And the angels do take on warfare on our behalf. And they take on our warfare for two various reasons, or two very good reasons. And it's because of how we relate to the gospel itself. This comes out when you see the statement in Revelation where it says, "And they," meaning us, "conquered him," meaning Satan the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And it goes a little bit further by saying that the love of life did not deter them from death. We're basically showing by how we live as Christians, if we're living properly, that we don't really have attachments here on earth, because our big attachment is God in heaven. And this is kind of the key thing here. And we always overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, referring to the covenant that we do have with God, which is part of the reason why I've selected that series to kind of start off this expose on ministry and on the salvation message. And it also concludes with the word of their testimony. And the word of your testimony is basically, how do you live? How do people know you? Now, a lot of people don't quite get this a lot when it comes to being a Christian, that it's how people know you. How do you live? Do you live a kind of life that people can actually respect? Or is it something where they look at you and they're like, oh, that's a little sketchy person? Now, I know this in my own self, that it's not always easy, because sometimes I come off as the goofiest thing since tomorrow, but, you know, it's just the way I am. It's not talking about, you know, goofiness as being a hindrance, but for some people it is. It's more talking about whether or not you live uprightly or not. And this is the key point. Do you live the kind of life that is pleasing to God, or do you hide certain sins in your background that you don't want anybody to know about? And this is where the angels can really help out, by helping you live a more Christian life, because you can employ them in prayer to make sure that you don't go off into these areas where you have problems. Man that I once knew was telling me one time that he always had a problem with going to drink and be around people that were drinking, until he one time prayed to his guardian angel that he didn't want to do that anymore. And he begged the guardian angel in prayer for a couple days, probably a couple weeks, I can't remember the exact. And then he found out that anytime he would think about going to the store to buy liquor, he would have something go wrong with his car. Flat tire this moment, it wouldn't start the next because the battery was dead. Nothing that would cost him a lot of money, but slowly over time he started realizing, oh wow, this is really starting to work. And then he found one time he was trying to go to the store to buy alcohol, and for whatever reason, he got there too late. It was already 3 minutes past, so he couldn't buy. So he was pretty much being weaned off of the stuff by doing that. And certain people that would always take him to like different parties or show up at taking him to bars and stuff stopped coming around. So he found a witness in the simple fact that the angels themselves, in the sense of his guardian angel, were actually there to help him. And that's kind of what we get here, that they're co-workers with us in helping us get to our eternal destiny. And they can be a very powerful aid in that particular area. In fact, as you kind of see, in the presence of the angels, we're able to sing praise. And this is where we get into this whole idea of really understanding what it is we're experiencing when we go to Mass. We're actually experiencing heaven on earth. There's a statement, I can't remember who it was, but if you attend to the Good Friday devotions and the Holy Saturday devotions, you'll have ministering angels guarding you as you're going forward for communion and when you leave church, because you've consecrated yourself to God in that special way. There's kind of that blessing there. And a lot of times when you kind of hear people say, oh, something bad happened to you because you insulted me in front of my guardian angel, those aren't really the way that they work. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things that people say, and I just want to kind of cover that. But it's more along the lines of having these co-workers trying to make sure that you make it to heaven, and also make sure that you realize just how valuable your worship is. In fact, there's other places where they help the elders in the book of Revelation make sure that the prayers of the saints are brought before God. And even Jesus said that the guardian angels of the little ones see the face of God every moment. So while they're watching you, they see God, and they can work with you as God's leading you and helping you to find that path. So that's where all this talk of angels today should be focused on. And with that, I just want to leave you with the little thought that if we maintain our fellowship with God and we learn to cooperate with our guardian angels and have the angels work on our behalf, one of these days we too will experience this promise that Nathaniel had, which is that one day we will see heaven open, and the angels of God will ascend and descend on the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, because at that point in time, we'll be with him forever in glory. And that is our blessed hope. Hope you have a good day, and I hope to have you another broadcast on Sunday. Thank you.